was busy. I stopped competitive bowling at St. Anthony Country Day when it became a letter sport. You had to file an application and sign score sheets, keep up an average. It wasn't fun anymore. It was stressful then. It's stressful now. "Look at me, Stevie baby," Anna said, reaching around the seat and grabbing his face in her hands. "Relax! There is nothing you can't do on a day like today." On what waiting room poster did you read that? "I'm just saying, turn this day into fun with a capital F. Today, Steve Wong, you are going to go on TV and you're going to have fun. Fun, 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 fun."
"I don't think so," Steve said. "Nope, nope, nope, nope."
Crown Lanes has been a site for PBA tournaments. There were grandstand-style seats and ESPN banners, lights for the TV, and multiple cameras. When Steve saw the seats filled with avid bowling fans, he let out a cuss word. Rare for Steve Wong. An exhausted woman with a headset and a clipboard found us. "Which one of you is Steve Wong?" M-Dash and I raised our hands. "Okay, you'll be on lane four after the game between Shakir Al-Hassan and Kim Terrell Kearney. The winner of that plays the winner of the Kin Shung Park Jason Belmonte game for the final. Nothing's expected of you until then." Steve went out to the parking lot to pace, with Anna on his heel, talking about how fun it must be to work at ESPN. M-Dash and I grabbed sodas and sat in a VIP section to see Kyung Shin Park beat Jason Belmonte by 12 in what was a damn fine exhibition of the hardwood game of tenpin. In the second game, M-Dash rooted hard for Shakir Al-Hassan. He knew a lot of Al-Hassans before coming to the USA, but Kim Terrell Kearney, who was a woman pro, by the way, nipped him 272 to 269. While the cameras were being rolled over to lane four and the crew started tweaking the lights, the crowd milled about and Anna came looking for us. "Steve is throwing up in the parking lot," she told us, "between the TV trucks." "Nerves?" I wondered. "Are you an idiot?" she asked. M-Dash left us to get a selfie with Shakir Al-Hassan. I found Steve sitting outside on a low wall by the entrance, his head in his hands, like he was fighting a fever and might choke again. "Wong-o," I said, squeezing his shoulder. "Here's what you are going to do today. You roll Chinese Lightning a couple of times. You go home $1,700 to the better. Easy, breezy."
"Can't do that, man." Steve raised up his head, eyes to the horizon across the parking lot. "Everyone expects goddamn perfection. Drive me home right now."
I sat with him on the low wall. "Let me ask you a question. Is this bowling alley not like every bowling alley on the planet, with the foul line and the arrows in the wood? Are there 10 pins down at the other end of the lane? Will your ball come back to you magically via an underground slot?" "Oh, I see. You are giving me a pep talk. Answer my insightful questions." "Yes, true. Golly jeepers, I see that you are right. Everything will be hunky-dory now that you have talked some sense into me." Steve was speaking in a monotone. "I'm special and I can do anything I set my mind to, and dreams do come true if I just carpe diem." "Attaboy," I said. We did not move for a couple of minutes. The exhausted woman in the headset came yelling for us that it was post time for Steve Wong. He ran his fingers through his jet black hair and then rose up, letting loose with a string of very un-Wong expletives. Good thing his parents weren't around. When Steve put on those ugly bowling shoes, a ripple of, "Hey, that's that guy," went through the crowd. His internet legend had preceded him. When the tape was rolling and he was introduced by the host of Alley Nation, the place echoed with applause. Even the pro bowlers looked over at lane four. "Steve Wong," the host intoned. "6 perfect games in succession. 72 strikes in a row. But questions linger as to whether your incredible streak has been the creation of clever editing.
and computer special effects. What is your reaction to such allegations?
The host stuck the microphone up to Steve's lips.
Makes sense, what with the web being the web.
Steve's eyes darted from the host to the crowd, to us, to the floor, and back to the host. All so fast it looked like he was having an attention-induced seizure.
Have you ever thought you'd reach such a level of technique and form that so many close frames would be in your game?
I just bowl for fun.
The official record for straight strikes is held by Tommy Golic at 47, but here you claim to have rolled 24 consecutive turkeys. Many in the bowling world wonder if such a string is even possible.
I turned to a fellow next to me who, with his bowling shirt emblazoned with a Crowns Lane logo, must have been a citizen of Alley Nation.
What does he mean by turkeys? I asked him.
3 strikes in a row, dipshit. And no way in hell did that punk roll 20-plus of them. He then yelled, "Hoax!" at the top of his lungs.
As you may hear, Steve Wong, there are some who doubt not just your claim, but also the word of the manager of your home alley, the Ventura Party Billiards and Bowling Complex.
Steve looked the crowd over, probably seeing only the glaring eyes of unbelievers. Like I said, I bowl for fun.
Well, as I always say, the proof of any bowler is in the crash of pins. So, Steve Wong, step up to the line and show us what game you brought with you today. And remember, folks, a great time is waiting for you and your family at your nearby bowling alley and fun center. Take up bowling and get on a roll.
Steve walked to the ball return, strapping on his glove, as the three of us hooted and hollered, "Atta, baby!" Some in the crowd catcalled. Steve heaved a sigh so deep and soulful we could see his shoulders sag. And we were perched far away in the upper row. He turned his back to us all and sighed again. By the time he took Chinese lightning into his hands and placed his fingers into the ball's custom-drilled holes, we who knew Steve Wong could tell this about him. He was not having fun. And yet, his movements were still a vision of grace, his release of the ball smooth and effortless, the flick of his hand applying the same spin we had seen so many times, his fingers reaching for the ceiling in one hand waving free, the toes on his right foot tap-tapping on the hardwood akimbo to his left shoe, XXX flashing from his heels. Rumble, smash, strike. Cries of "Lucky!" echoed throughout Crown Lanes. Steve, his back to the world, cooled his hand, waiting for Chinese lightning to appear from below. With ball in hand, he assumed the pose and did it again. Rumble, smash, strike number 2. Then came strikes number 3 through 6, netting a score of 120 in the 4th frame. Steve had turned the crowd decidedly in his favor, but I doubt he noticed. He didn't so much as glance our way. Shakir Al-Hassan was asked what he thought of Steve's form. "Unworldly magnificent," he said on camera to all citizens of Alley Nation. Strike 7, 8, and 9 had all 4 professionals weighing in on Steve's balance, his mechanics, his cool under-pressure command, in what Kyung Shin Park called the tunnel, and Jason Belmonte knew as the line of fate. Kim Terrell Kearney said the PBA had a place for a competitor as poised as Steve Wong. When 10 X'd frames were superimposed on the TV monitors, the host became flabbergasted, actually saying, "I am flabbergasted by the performance of this fine young example to bowlers everywhere." The crowd was on its feet, shouting encouragements equal to those for the gladiators of ancient Rome. Steve's 11th roll was a surreal moment in time, a dream ballet, a free fall out of the sky that hit the perfect pocket between the 1 and 3 pins, and kablooey with all 8 of the rest of them. With 1 last strike needed for a perfect game, $100,000 and ESPN immortality, Steve soft-shoed to the ball return without any tell of emotion. No expectation, no anxiety, no fear, no fun either.
As far as I could tell from the back of his head, his face must have looked like an open-eyed death mask. As he held the ball before his heart in preparation for his windup, something more encompassing than silence fell on Crown Lanes. A void of sound, like the room had been vacuum pumped of atmosphere, robbing sound waves of their purchase. Anna's fingers were digging into M-dash's and my arms, the words, "Atta baby," forming mutely on her lips. The exact moment of the beginning of Steve's 12th and final roll was imperceptible, like the slow liftoff of a rocket to the moon, so heavy a thing that nothing moves despite the ignition of boosters and all the flames and fury. The nanosecond Chinese lightning hit the hardwood, a roar exploded so loud you'd have thought every member of Alley Nation was on the cusp of simultaneous orgasm with the love of his or her life. A Sabre jet engine is not as loud as a roof-busting blare that grew and grew as that brown and yellow orb spun along its arc. Just inches from the impact of ball on pin, Crown Lanes was engulfed in a wall of sound. The smash of ball in the pocket, just between pins 1 and 3, happened in some other place, a clap of thunder 100 miles away. We all saw the flash of white, like the smile of a giant with perfect teeth suddenly busted, all 10 pins scattering and clattering until what was left was empty space and dead soldiers, 10 of them. Steve stood at the foul line, surveying the emptiness at the other end of the alley as upright pins appeared on automatic reset. As the host was yelling into his headset, "Steve Wong is perfect!" Our friend knelt on one knee, appearing to thank God as he knew God for such a triumph. Instead, he was unlacing his left shoe. Steve. He took it off and set its toe on the foul line. He did the same to Wong on the right, neatly setting his custom-made bowling footwear so that XXX showed on TV. In stocking feet, he padded to the ball return and took up that which had already been delivered, carrying Chinese lightning in his two hands like it was nothing more than a paving stone. He set it on top of his shoes in a gesture that Anna, M-dash, and I knew to mean, "I will bowl no more forever." As he tossed his bowling glove into the crowd, setting off a melee for the memorabilia hounds, Kim Terrell Kearney ran up and kissed his cheek in an embrace, while the other pros offered handshakes and head rubs. By the time we made our way through the adoring bowlers, all of them now fans, Anna was weeping. She threw her arms around Steve Wong and sobbed so deeply I was worried she would pass out. M-dash kept saying something in his native language, a superlative, I am sure. I toasted Steve with a beer I had found in a cooler by one of the TV cameras, then grabbed his stack of bowling gear and stuffed it all in his bowling bag. Only the three of us heard him say, "I'm glad that's over." None of us went bowling again for the next few months, though not by plan. I had a dime-sized growth on my leg that went all raised up and spooky on me, so I scheduled outpatient surgery to have it removed, sliced away, potato peeled off. Nothing serious. M-dash got a new job, walking away from his career possibilities at Home Depot for a position at Target, his new workplace separated from his former job by a vast shared parking lot. He walked to the other store, changed his polo shirt, and never looked back. Anna took fly fishing lessons at a place run by the Parks Department, at the Stanley P. Sweat Municipal Casting Ponds, a place no one had ever heard of or could find without Google Maps. She tried to get me to sign up along with her, but I look on fly fishing as a companion sport to luge racing. Never will I do either one. Steve Wong's life settled down. He figured out how many ESPN dollars would go to taxes and planned accordingly. He went back to work, had to take selfies with customers for a while, and told M-dash that leaving Home Depot for Target was like emigrating from his sub-Saharan home country to North Korea. Such is the competitive rhetoric of Home Depot management. One thing Steve never did talk about was bowling. But one night there we were, bowling for free, the regulars at the lanes sidling up to Steve for bumps with a fist that had rolled those perfect games. Steve and I arrived first. I'd picked him up, but he came out of his house empty-handed. "You dope," I said as he climbed into the shotgun seat of the VW bus. "What?" "Go back inside and get your stuff, your shoes and your bag, and Chinese lightning." "Okay," he said after a long pause. By the time Anna arrived, then M-Dash, I had finished a rolling rock, and Steve was pumping quarters into a video motocross game. We carried his equipment down to our assigned lane, changed into our rental shoes, and picked out our bowling balls, Anna considering every single one, I think. When we called to Steve that we were ready to begin, he was still racing on the machine and just waved blindly for us to start without him. We ended up playing two games, just the three of us. Anna won both, I lost them, and M-Dash was crowing about being a silver medalist over me. Steve came down to our lane and watched the last frames of that second game. We were debating whether or not to go again, since it was getting late and it was a Thursday night. I wanted to go home, M-Dash wanted to beat Anna for the gold, and she wanted to crush all of our dreams for the third straight time in one evening. Steve didn't care what we did, saying he would sit out the next line and maybe have a beer or two. "You aren't going to bowl with us?" Anna was incredulous. "When did you get so stuck up?" "Come on, Steve," M-Dash pleaded. "You and bowling mean America to me." "Put your shoes on," I told him, "or you are walking home." Steve sat there for a moment, then called us a bunch of jerks, and took off his street shoes to change into his ugly bowling sandals. I rolled first, hitting a paltry 4 on my first ball, then missing the remaining pins by millimeters. M-Dash nearly died laughing. His first ball left 3 standing, which he then clobbered to pick up a spare. "Tonight," he hissed at Anna, "you are going to die." "Bit heavy with the taunts," she told him. "No one dies bowling unless a tornado is involved." She then knocked down 9 of the pins and expertly closed the frame on her second ball. She and M-Dash were tied. Then came Steve Wong, sighing as he took his custom ball out of its custom bag, the spherical tool of his legendary alley work. I may exaggerate by saying the bowlers in the place stopped what they were doing to watch a master at work, that the whole joint suddenly went silent, wondering if, somehow, lightning would strike again and start another chain reaction of perfect games, proving that Steve Wong was the true god of turkeys. I think it was mostly in my head. He stood still on the lane, holding the ball once again to his heart, his eyes locked on the faraway wedge of 10 white pins. Then he began his swing and step to the lip of the foul line and released lightning, lifting his bowling hand up to the sky. His right toe tapped the floor behind his left heel, the total of 6 X's displayed for all to see. His ball curved and spun down the long lines of the shiny hardwood, headed for that pocket between the 1 and 3 pins, looking to be a strike for sure. Stay with us. Fade in. Exterior, Las Vegas. Morning. We know this place, the strip, the casinos, the fountains. But wait, there is a new, huge, luxurious hotel on the skyline. Olympus. Bigger than all the others. If you are a big roller, you frolic and gamble with the gods at Olympus. Close on, Eyes, of Francis Xavier Rustin, a.k.a. FXR. Green eyes, flecked with gold that dance with delight at all they see. Close on computer screens. Left screen? detailed architectural plans of a vast solar energy collection field. Middle screen, Google Earth images of unsettled bare parcels of land, USGS maps, topography charts, and environmental graphs. Right screen, floating images, a guy catching a marlin, a guy hang gliding, a guy rock climbing, a guy whitewater rafting, Steve McQueen in Bullet. The guy is always FXR, except for Steve McQueen. A news ticker scrolls along the bottom of this screen. Windows pop up with alerts and messages and now playing. A text box pops up.
Boss, breakfast as usual.
Caller ID shows us Ms. Mercury. Jet black hair cut short, slashes of red lipstick. FXR replies with clicks of his keyboard.
Called it in. Nicholas is bringing it up.
Who?
New guy.
Cut two. Interior service elevator the same. Ms. Mercury is a stunning specimen, as intimidating as a supermodel. 6 feet tall, rail thin, Pilates-shaped physique, dressed in black on black. She is a woman not to be messed with in any shape or form. She has read the text.
What new guy?
She has been the aide-de-camp for FXR over the last 12 years, a job she lives and breathes every minute of every day. That a new guy is bringing her boss his breakfast is a fact that should never have escaped her. She is tapping away on a gizmo on her wrist, a large watch computer, getting memos, texts, schedules, and finally, a series of employee photos. She swipes the screen until she finds Nicholas Papamopoulos, 19 years old, a look of confusion in his eyes like a kid starting his very first job ever, which he is. The elevator doors open, and there he is, Nicholas Papamopoulos, in the uniform of a room service waiter at Olympus, pushing a table of covered dishes.
Nicky, my boy.
Nicky is confused. Why does this tall lady know his name? He enters the elevator.
Oh, I'm new here.
You sure are. Oh, look at you in your too big uniform with your breakfast order for FXR already.
Am I in trouble?
Not yet, kiddo.
How do you know I'm taking this to Mr. Rustin?
Ms. Mercury presses the button for the 101st floor. The door closes and the elevator slowly rises.
Because I know everything that happens at Olympus, Nick Chick. Do you know why?
No, I'm new here.
Let me tell you a little about myself. You know what I was doing until 3 a.m. this morning? Seeing to it that Francis X. Rustin's collection of 132 antique motorcycles were moved into a new climate-controlled warehouse, where they will be kept in perfect running order on the off chance that he chooses to someday take one out for a spin. The last time he did that was May of 2013. That he is yet to inspect the new storage facilities for his collection of antique player pianos or the vintage Burma shave signs he's purchased over the years did not deter me from having 24 men put motorcycles in protective wrapping and gingerly place them in a high-tech garage the size and approximate cost of Bruce Wayne's Batcave. FXR is a very rich man who pretends to be all-knowing and all-seeing when it comes to his vast empire. Accent on, line under, italicize, pretends. Here's something none of his millions of admirers, acolytes, influence peddlers, and brown-nosers understand about El Jefe. He couldn't make his own lunch, given a Kaiser roll cold cuts in a jar of mayonnaise. His head is in the clouds because that brain of his is so damn full of knuckleheaded schemes that pay off so well. So, we are here, you and I, to make the life he leads possible. I to work 22-hour days at his beck and call. You to prep his meals and taste test them for poison. I'm kidding about the poison.
Interior service hall, 101st floor. It's a long hall.
Tell me you have his breakfast order perfect, or I'll cripple you.
I had it all set. The 7-grain organic granola, sliced mango and pineapple, tomato juice and cinnamon cafe au lait. But then...
But then...
A half hour ago, he messaged the kitchen.
Show me the message.
Nicholas shows her his watch computer.
Stove team, flag on play. Griddle cakes.
Griddle cakes. Griddle cakes! No, 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 no.
She lifts a cover. There, on a plate, griddle cakes, also known as pancakes.
Jiminy expletive, those are griddle cakes!
We're boysenberry syrup.
Ms. Mercury is now beside herself with worry.
Oh, Nicky. Nicky, this is not a good sign. My day may have just been ruined, and I tell you this. If I'm going down today, I'm taking you with me.
Because of griddle cakes? I didn't do anything. I'm new here.
The boss only orders cakes from the griddle when he's antsy with ideas. I'll have to arrange an expedition to the fjords of Iceland for 30 of FXR's closest friends so he can paddle a kayak in open water. Or have a zip line assembled over the gorges of the rainforest in Uganda so anyone can look down and see chimpanzees in the wild go by. Or make sure every employee of Olympus is shackled to...
the watch computer.
One of these things. And I've actually had to make real those very orders. Griddle cakes mean I'm getting a work assignment that wouldn't make sense to Martians. Griddle cakes have just ruined my already miserable day.
Why do you do this job?
I have no answer to that question other than my big honker of a paycheck.
They are at the door of the only hotel room on the 101st floor.
Set up by the fake waterfall. Straighten your name tag and smile. He likes employees who look like they love their jobs.
She pauses, takes a breath, and changes her demeanor to a sunny smile. Her ability to transform this way is frightening. She knocks and enters. Interior penthouse. A snazzy place, complete with a fake waterfall, state-of-the-art exercise equipment, wall-size video screen in front of a row of vintage movie theater chairs. The windows look out on most of Las Vegas.
I have griddle cakes for the big boss man.
FXR rises from his computer workstation.
That was fast.
Oh, you always say that.
Nicholas sets up the room service table.
You, Nicholas?
Reading the name tag.
Looks like it. Welcome aboard. What happened to O'Shea?
O'Shea's wife had that baby, remember? And yes, I already sent over a new crib and a cold water humidifier, along with two full-time nurses.
FXR sits for his griddle cakes.
Look at these beauties. If they were made in a pan, they're pancakes. A griddle, and they're griddle cakes. Were these made in a pan or on a griddle, Nico?
I didn't actually see, sir.
Sir! Around here, I'm plain old FX. I say they're griddle cakes. Miss Mercury! I don't know what was on the docket for today, but cancel everything.
Last time you said that, you had me tramping through Mississippi so you could buy up every Knaff farm in the Delta.
Think I nailed down the place with a solar pipeline facility.
Wow, no kidding. Super.
She sighs and plops herself down on the couch. She starts swiping around the internet on her watch computer.
Gonna be a long day.
FXR picks up his plate and walks to the computers, pulls up images, and points with his fork dripping with boysenberry.
Shepperton Dry Creek ain't nothing much now. Flat, wide, dusty. But a miracle of Mother Nature that gets more sunshine than Taylor Swift gets Facebook likes.
Ms. Mercury is liking a post on Taylor Swift's Facebook page.
That's a lot.
Old Route 88 cuts close to the Shepperton Dry Creek.
Does it? I'm amazed.
Someone enterprising is going to start buying up the land along that stretch of highway for the influx of traffic it's going to bring.
Bored, examining nails.
Uh-huh.
So let's get going.
Going where?
Along old Route 88. It'll be fun. Just like that trip we took in Costa Rica on the Pan American Highway to collect spiders.
Yeah, that was a blast. I was bitten.
You healed.
Make Nick go with you today.
I can't boss Nick around. He's in the union. You are in the union, right?
I am, sir. FX.
Why can't you get married and make your wife do this stuff?
I don't need a wife. I have you, Ms. Mercury. Wives don't put up with guys like me.
But I have to. I've got too many things to do here to keep your empire afloat.
A road trip will do us both good.
She throws up her hands.
You see, Nicholas, you and your griddle cakes.
What did I do?
What did Nick do?
One of these days, I'm going to quit this job and do something dignified, like professional water skiing.
Typing on her watch computer.
I'll get the jet ready.
The big jet and the little jet. You take the little one and scrounge up some ground transpo. I'll come in the big jet after I've done my workout.
Whatever you wish, oh titan of industry. Which fantasy automobile do you want to add to the warehouse? A Monza? Surfer Woody?
Let's keep a low profile to blend in with the locals. The economy bypassed that part of the nation.
Pulls out a wad of cash.
Get me whatever car $800 can purchase.
$800? For a car? It'll be a hunk of junk.
He pulls out a few more bills.
Make it $850.
Pulls out a 20.
Nick? For you.
Nicholas takes the money.
Thank you, Mr. FX.
Cut to exterior of an airfield somewhere in the middle of nowhere. It's day. A single landing strip and a weathered field business office. Not many aircraft land at this place. But look here. A big jet is taxiing up beside a parked little jet. Both planes have the Olympus logo painted on the sides. Ms. Mercury, still in her black on black, sits behind the wheel of a 1970s era Buick convertible with the top down.
The stairs of the big jet pop open, and there is FXR in clothes he thinks the common people wear. A fruity-looking western shirt with too much piping tucked into an old pair of Jordache designer jeans, a belt with a huge Marlboro cigarettes belt buckle, and flame-red cowboy boots. He wears a too perfectly broken-in John Deere cap and has a straw cowboy hat in his hand.
Hey, Duke, or Beau, or whoever you are, is my boss on that plane?
Pretty good, huh?
He means his costume.
Authenticity is the key.
Glad some of the casino showgirls let you raid their dressing room.
How's she running?
He means the car.
Well, I burned half a tank of gas and a pint of oil just driving from the lot. Good news is, I bargained down to $700.
Put the change in petty cash. Here.
He gives her the cowboy hat.
Blend in.
He plops it on her head.
Don't we look great?
All that fortune and your idea of fun is dressing up like a poor mortal with no fashion sense. I can arrange this to be permanent. Just give me all your money and you'll live happily ever after.
FXR runs around to the passenger seat, trying to hop in over the door. He lands in a heap on the front seat, one foot hooked on the door.
Gangway for adventure.
She hits the gas and the car spins out and away, spewing dust and gravel. Exterior, Highway 88, later. The Buick chugs along down the highway. FXR smiles into the wind.
I should get out of that penthouse more often.
2 weeks ago, you were boogie boarding on the Great Barrier Reef.
To see America. Don't see enough of my native land. Open road, pink sky, asphalt ribbon with nothing but a dotted line and the horizon. I love this country. God help me, but I do love it so. It's good for the soul to come down from the mountaintop sometimes, Miss Mercury. Otherwise, all you see are the tops of mountains. I should put that in a memo to all the employees.
Do that. We'd all love it. So, where are we going, Cochise?
Sending a message from his watch to hers.
Here, a little town called Phrygia. 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 Population 602.
Watch, photos, facts, information about Phrygia.
Formerly a major stop on Route 88 that once billed itself as America's hospitality capital. Let's see how hospitable they are to the likes of us.
Before you buy up every square inch an acre.
She studies her watch.
Oh, hell. This drive will take us hours. I'm gonna fry.
Exterior. A huge sign. Faded, ancient, with broken neon tubes and peeling paint that says, Motel Olympus. Still barely visible are the large figures of a man and woman, both waving to non-existent traffic, calling out in sun-bleached letters, Stay with us. Cut to Exterior. Motel Olympus. Phrygia. It's the same day. Nothing at all like its namesake in Las Vegas. Nothing at all. Like the sign, the Motel Olympus has seen better days. The best that can be said of it, it's clean. The music is coming from Jesus Hidalgo, who plays the final chords of a song so beautiful, it even sounds great on an accordion. An old couple, Phil and Bee, yes, that's them on the sign, applaud as Jesus packs away his instrument and loads it into his old pickup truck.
Talent like I've never seen.
Every time you play, I find myself all misty. You have a gift, Jesus.
You make me feel so good, Mr. Phil, Mrs. B. You always made me feel I was at home.
That's because you have been, Jesus. You've been at our home.
You're good luck there in Chester. I hear they get benefits galore at that windshield factory.
Well, thank you. I will come back to see you many times. I promise I will.
Bring us a windshield you made yourself.
Jesus climbs in, and the pickup truck pulls out of the motel lot, honking. Phil and Bee watch the truck disappear down the road.
There goes our only guest. One less bed to make.
Lord, I'm going to miss him playing that accordion.
$62 less a week. Why would anyone want to leave this little spot of paradise to live in a podunk burg like Chesterton?
Oh, stop serving crab apples. Do some weeding.
Phil sizes up the woman he married, the woman he still finds so very beautiful.
Don't treat me like some hired hand. Unless you wearing that pretty dress means you want to play seduce the hired hand.
You go out there with a weed whacker and flex your rippling muscles, maybe I'll get all heated up.
I tell you what, woman, give me 20 minutes to clear the South 40 and then meet me in room 10. I just might be naked in the shower.
It's a date.
A Buick convertible is coming down the road, its turn signal blinking.
Hold on. Looks like we have gas.
Rats. Come back in an hour, folks.
The car pulls into the motel. Hey, it's none other than FXR and Ms. Mercury. The top is still down. He is smiling. She looks like hell after driving 3 hours in a convertible with the top down. They pull right up to Phil and B.
Howdy.
Howdy do.
Howdy do to you.
How diddly-dee doody do.
All folksy.
As you can see, we happen to be weary travelers who have been on the road too long.
With no sunblock.
We seek a respite from our journey. You know, some real hospitality.
How about trying a motel of some kind?
Know any good motels around?
Well, let's think here. Motels, you need a motel.
Best motel in the world is right here on the outskirts of Phrygia, called the Olympic or the Olympian or something.
FXR looks at the faded sign.
Motel Olympus.
That's the one.
Ms. Mercury, Motel Olympus. This is fate.
Ms. Mercury wants out of the car and into a shower ASAP.
It must be. This parking lot screams destiny.
Welcome. I'm Bee. He's Phil. Stay with us.
These two adorable old folks immediately freeze in the positions of the sign behind them, complete with waving arms. FXR and Ms. Mercury share a look. Phil and Bee have not moved. They are still frozen in their sign position. They remain so, for a beat, then another, and another.
So, do you have a vacancy?
Breaking her pose.
Nothing but.
Interior motel office, cut to, a faded photo from 50 years before. Young Phil and B in that same pose. Obviously the model for the sign back when it was constructed. The office is clean and cozy. FXR inspects the photo as B prepares the paperwork.
If it seems like you have the place to yourself, you do.
Business slow, is it?
Ever since Eisenhower built the interstates.
That's how long you've owned this place?
Not quite, but Phil and I have been here since Phrygia was a 3-star stop for the auto club.
She hands him a registration card and a cheap ballpoint pen. Exterior Motel Olympus. Ms. Mercury's parking the car. The engine is making lots of horrible noises. Phil comes up.
I think the squirrels are dying.
3 or 4 quarts of oil and the gnashing sound disappears.
Smoke starts coming from under the hood.
Whew, the woods are on fire. Shut it down, honey.
Did he just call Ms. Mercury honey?
Okay, lamb chop.
She shuts down the engine just as something explodes. The motor stops, but the after chug makes the car seem alive.
This thing has a life of its own. Pop the hood.
And how exactly does one pop that?
She finds a lever and pulls. The hood goes up, emitting a column of smoke. Interior motel office. FXR sees the smoke as B inspects the registration card he's filled out.
FXR?
Present.
No credit card, huh?
Lord, no. Had one once for a department store in Flint, Michigan. Ran up a tab, then had to split town.
He never did any such thing.
We've seen some of that. I need cash in advance, 'cause I don't know you.
How much?
2 rooms will be $38.50.
As he pulls out his Western-style wallet, a prop he picked out himself.
Oh.
Or 1 room with double beds. $22.50.
Digging around in his wallet.
That much, eh?
Single room, double bed, $16.50.
Turns out, I've only got $12 and some change.
Well, we'll give you the only guest in the motel special, then.
Exterior Motel Olympus. Miss Mercury leans over the hood of the car with Phil, who is monkeying around with a wrench.
What do I know about cars? I just put gas in it and go.
You'd think it'd be that easy, wouldn't it?
He pulls out the oil pump.
You know what this is?
She looks at the part like it is a dead rat.
A dead rat?
This is a dehypoxified fusion accelerator with calcitrin oxy spoilers.
Really?
I can get you another. I just gotta make a call to Tommy Boyer. He'll run a rebuilt one out here as soon as he can.
Fine. Great.
I can put it in for you, so you'll be on your way with the dawn.
At dawn, I'll be in bed for another 3 hours, but you go ahead.
A shout is heard.
Miss Mercury!
Head swivel. FXR is with B as she unlocks the door to one of the rooms.
Come and see our accommodations.
Interior motel room. B and Phil stand and watch as FXR tests out the bed while Miss Mercury inspects the bathroom.
I hate to be a pest, but I have a bad disc from a fall I took chopping trees in Alberta.
Miss Mercury shoots him a look. He never did any such thing.
This mattress will kill me before it gets me to sleep.
Phil, does room 3 have a newer mattress?
Only a few months old. I'll change it pronto.
Feeling the sheets.
These, sheets? Way too scratchy. I have a skin condition.
I can break open a fresh set.
Will they be washed? Nothing is worse than brand new sheets.
Not even heart disease. I'll soften them up for you.
You better try the pillows. Too firm won't be any good for that back of yours.
Too firm and I can't move my neck in the morning.
He tries the pillow, grabs his neck.
Ouch! No way.
We sleep with some good down models. We'll put fresh cases on them, let you have them for the night.
And finally, this picture here over the bed.
It is of a babbling brook and a farmhouse.
It reminds me of a foster home I once spent an eternity in. Do you have some other painting we could hang?
Foster home.
Room 12 has one with some ducks.
I have a fear of waterfowl.
Well, there's one with some wagon wheels on it and 8.
Wagon wheels? Why paint wagon wheels? I don't understand.
Hey, there's a clown face in room 13.
The thought makes FXR shudder.
How about we just remove all the artwork?
Problem solved.
Cut to the interior of the motel room. It's later. Phil is moving in a new mattress. B is putting pillowcases on the borrowed pillows. And Miss Mercury is marveling at the softness of the bath towels.
What do you use to make this towel so soft? It's like mink.
I just wash them, honey. Then I hang them out to dry.
I can't wait to take a shower.
When you do, let the hot water run. It takes a while.
Okay, last item. How does a soul get nourishment round here?
Used to be a cafe right across the road. Truman's, it was called. Great pie. Even better pot roast. Closed in 1991.
Fast food places over in Chesterton. 36 miles as the crow flies.
I'd rather eat crow than fast food in Chesterton.
Just as well. We're stuck here. The car blew its oxy spoiler.
Remembering and bolting.
Oh, I gotta call Tommy Boyer.
As he leaves.
Any chance of room service?
If you don't mind getting your hands a little dirty.
Cut to back of the motel later. A mini farm, complete with hen house and garden, beautifully kept. B is expertly inspecting vegetables while Ms. Mercury tries to get tomatoes off a vine and toss them into a basket.
Okay, tomatoes, radishes, those long green things, and half of my fingernails.
Wouldn't avocados be perfect? I've got to plant some avocado trees.
They grow on trees?
Yes, but you need 2. One male tree and 1 female tree. Otherwise, no avocados.
The trees have sex?
Once a week, just like that old man and me.
B laughs. Even the chickens squawk in jest.
That is way too much information.
Cut to the exterior of the pool area. It is dusk. Phil has been preparing an old barbecue where a scrawny chicken rotates on a spit. The pool, now empty.
So you never had kids?
Couldn't. Didn't mind, though. Back in the old days, this place was swarming with kids all the time. That's because of this swim pool. A dozen motels along 88 before the interstate cut us off. Only three had swim pools. I put up signs every 20 miles saying, Mount Olympus, swim pool. Guess where the kids demanded to stay?
With Phil and B.
Mm-hmm. You ever work in the hospitality business?
Not legitimately.
Phil gives him a look.
It's a line of work you can't learn. Has to come natural. You have to like people and trust them, and lie a little when those with crazy eyes ask if there's a vacancy. No shame in that. Wisdom.
You must like the motel business.
I like this motel. Could use a bit more business.
Cut two. The exterior of the landscape. It's sunset. At the very moment the sun blinks out, gone beyond the horizon. Exterior Motel Olympus, the whole place, at night. The sign is not lit up itself, but has only a cheap garden light shining up on it. Down by the pool, we see that a picnic dinner has been enjoyed by the two innkeepers and their guests.
Tell me something. How long have you kids been together?
What?
You two. You an item?
Phil, whose business is that?
Are we an item? An item. Item?
Well, a man and a woman drive up in a car together, check in together, have a room together. It's only happened about a million times.
Ms. Mercury rolls her eyes, then she shakes her head, then she laughs to herself. She points to FXR.
This man could no sooner be my half of an item than I could fart toast.
I'm gonna steal that. Yeah.
As Miss Mercury says, we have an employer-employee relationship that is proper in every way.
If he isn't sleeping on the couch, and he isn't because he's never slept on a couch, I sure as hell am.
Okay. You a gay lesbian, Miss Mercury?
No, I'm not that fashionable. I'm just single.
No man in your life.
Look, let me explain this aspect of my life to two relative strangers, as nice as you are. A man would complicate my life in the extreme. I need a man right now like your chicken coop needs a satellite dish. I'm unattached, connected to no one. The day will come when I chuck it all and bid my boss adieu and go for the mate, the kids, the handmade Halloween costumes, all of it. Until then, I'm happily solo working for this guy.
FXR nods.
Who drives me nuts, but can take a joke. I'm making good bank and I see the world. From Tasmania to this lovely inn. I have no room for a boyfriend.
Things are silent for a beat.
Then there's my answer.
And another beat. The quiet is all-encompassing. Beautiful.
Listen to that.
To what? I don't hear anything.
You're not listening.
I sure as hell am.
The quiet. He means listen to the quiet.
Oh.
She does.
I am really trying here, but I don't hear anything.
The only time I feel like this quiet makes me feel is...
Whenever it is, he keeps it to himself.
And it never lasts.
It does around here.
I've come to marvel in its totality. No matter the problems or worries, there's solace in the quiet of the night.
Phil looks at his wife. FXR looks at B. Miss Mercury looks out into the night.
Oh, I hear it now. Nothing. You mean the sound of nothing?
She listens.
Oh. Ah.
Headlights appear, and a panel truck pulls in the motel lot.
So much for that.
That's Tommy Boyer.
With that part for Bachelorette Number One's car.
To Miss Mercury.
Since you're not fashionable, you might like Tommy.
More eye-rolling.
Oh, gosh, let me fix my hair.
Tommy!
From out of the truck comes Tommy Boyer. He is the most gorgeous male creature on the planet Earth.
That's Tommy Boyer?
She is transfixed.
My lord.
She immediately starts primping her hair.
Oh, my.
He loves to cook.
Licking her hair into place.
Are you shitting me?
The great Tommy Boyer approaches, He carries an engine part.
Evening, B, folks.
You eat, Tommy.
I did, thanks. You go for an old jam, fuel pump fill.
Yep, for this little lady right here.
Everyone can see that Ms. Mercury is smitten with Tommy.
Hi.
How do you do to you?
Car problems, huh?
Yes, indeedy. Terrible, that pesky little car problems with of mine.
That it over there? The Buick?
Is it a Buick? Yes. Our sad, bad, broken Buick.
Well, let's see if we can get it running.
Okie dokie. I'll come pop the hood.
She turns to B.
I keep talking like a six-year-old. Help me.
Tommy divorced 3 years ago. Has a little girl. Gave up smoking last summer. Reads a lot.
Got it. Thanks.
Off she goes with Tommy Boyer.
Once again, the Motel Olympus works its magic spell.
Rising.
I'm going to clean up. You men waste time like you always do when women start cleaning up.
Okay.
Then to FXR.
Care to patrol the perimeter?
Cut to the exterior of Motel Olympus, the edge of the property. Out on the perimeter of the motel, Phil and FXR walk.
I was hoping to do something with those 10 acres over there, but nothing ever came of it. I once almost put in a snake hut.
A snake hut?
Yeah. We'd have signs out on 88. Visit the snake hut. 140 miles. Snake hut. 62 miles. Air conditioned. But then B pointed out that I knew very little about raising snakes, so we just made do with the motel.
It's a lovely motel. A hospitable little place. I love the name.
Can't stay here 24-7 without going nuts. One day a week, each of us gets a solo trip to Chesterton to go to the bank, do some shopping, use the Wi-Fi at Theo's Coffee Huts. Connect to the outside world a couple of hours a week.
That's the way to do it. If I ever get one of those laptop computer pads, I'll try that.
Phil eyes FXR as they walk.
What middle name starts with X? Other than Xavier. Francis Xavier Rustin.
FXR stops. He knows he's been busted.
B fingered it when you signed that register. FXR? You ever heard the phrase nom de plume?
I'm sorry I was dishonest with you.
Well, you weren't. Other than being a rich and famous man in a poor man's car. You on some incognito vacation lark?
Well, no.
You gonna sue us over the name? Like Olympus is a trademark you own?
I don't operate that way.
Oh, you're one of the few.
I'm looking for land and sunshine.
A lot of both around here. The land'll cost you, the sun is free.
Then, pointing.
We own from over there to over there. We ain't gonna be around much longer, according to both the doctors and common sense. We would like to close out our days someplace as nice as what we've had here.
So, should I make you an offer?
Stopping him with a hand.
No, you talk business with B. She's my boss. I'm gonna head back for a cup of Ovaltine.
Cut two. Exterior Motel Olympus, parking lot, night. The hood is up on the Buick. Ms. Mercury is holding the light for Tommy Boyer, passing him tools.
So the metric tools are different from standard tools?
Them's the facts. Okay, try to set her up.
She hops behind the wheel.
Okay, start me up.
She turns the key. The Buick roars into life.
Hot damn. Well, you must have read a lot of books on car fixing.
FXR walks up.
Boss, Tommy Boyer and me are going to take the car out for a test drive.
We are?
Got to see how it handles a long stretch of 88. We'll be on for a while, so don't wait up. Not that you would. Wait up for me to come back from test driving the car.
Finally to Tommy.
Want to take shotgun?
Tommy gets in the car and buckles his seatbelt. Miss Mercury hits the radio on and then gears into reverse. She and Tommy peel out into the night. Interior motel office, same night. Typing is heard. FXR enters to find B at a desk, pecking on a typewriter. An Olympia.
Is it true you have Ovaltine?
The hot plate.
FXR finds a pan of milk, a cup, a jar, and makes himself a hot malty beverage.
I'm gouging you a little on the facilities, knowing you'll tear everything down anyway. You planning on getting all the land around here?
If I can.
Then we'll be your first purchase. Kind of an honor for us.
He looks at the photograph of Bea and Phil, the original source for the dead sign out front.
How old were you when this was taken?
She sees him looking at that photo.
I was 19. Phil was 23. Our honeymoon. In Greece. An island so warm, so quiet, we didn't want to leave. Had to, of course. He went into the Air Force. I finished school. Came driving up old 88 and saw a place to sink all our savings into. Worked out pretty well.
She pulls the paper from the machine and hands it to him.
Your lawyers will put their fingerprints all over this, but it's the basics. Take it or leave it.
He doesn't even look at it.
You ever go back to Greece? On vacation?
We're moteliers. Every day is a vacation.
Cut to exterior motel Olympus, Phrygia, parking lot, same night. FXR folds a typed piece of paper, tucks it into his breast pocket as he walks back to his room. Behind him, the lights go off in the office, and the dim spotlight goes out on the old sign. He pauses in the quiet night, and we fade out. Fade in. The exterior of Motel Olympus, Phrygia. It's early evening, and it is weeks later. The sun is well down as the light of day fades to blue. A party is going on. Lights strung across the parking lot bring a magic to the growing night. Jesus Hidalgo is there with his band, playing to couples dancing. He sings about his queen and loving her with all his heart. His extended family is there with kids splashing in the newly filled swimming pool. Tommy Boyer is there with his little daughter and her pals, playing jump rope with a very different-looking Ms. Mercury, who now sports jeans and a halter top. Workmen swarm around the trucks, storing away tools, finally quitting for the day. Nicholas, the room service waiter, puts the finishing touches on a superb dinner that looks like something served on the Lido deck of the Love Boat. Locals from as far away as Chesterton have come around for the big party, having brought their own lawn chairs. FXR is dressed in a fine yet casual suit. He is talking over plans on a blueprint with half a dozen architects. In two chairs, dual places of honor, sit Phil and Bea, who both have to tell the truth style blindfolds over their eyes.
Oh, I've missed that man and his cordine.
From the way things sound, we're going to see a circus when we take these things off.
As Bea sways to the Mexican melody, a foreman, Collins, comes over and whispers something to FXR, who then smartly dismisses the architects.
Ms. Mercury, we're ready.
Turning that jump rope.
Who is Ms. Mercury?
Oh, sorry. Old habit. Diane, we're ready.
Okay, FX. Be right there.
To Tommy's daughter.
Come on, Lizzie. Let's go see the show.
Jesus concludes his music with a flourish. There's applause for the band. FXR goes to Phil and B.
You guys peek? Tell the truth.
No.
You aren't lining up a firing squad, are you?
Diane, is it dark enough?
I say yes.
Okay. Collins?
Collins is at the main power switch.
Shut him down.
Collins shuts off all the lights in the motel lot. The place is dark now.
Okay. You may remove your blindfolds.
They do. All is dark.
Hell, I can't see a thing.
Where am I supposed to look?
Where's the bloody circus?
Let there be light!
Collins throws another switch. The parking lot and all the people in it are suddenly bathed in shades of red, blue, and golden neon light. Miss Mercury's face sees something so very beautiful. Tommy Boyer is with her, holding his daughter.
Wow.
The guests, every one of them glowing, look up in awe into the sky.
Oh, Lord, what a heavenly light.
Close on Phil and Bea, the lights playing across their faces like a magic show in the heavens. They are silent. Close on the sign. Big Phil and Big Bea, illuminated in colors brilliant and bold, greet the world like twin giants in the nighttime sky. Stay with us, they say. Arms raised, bright, hospitable, young. The sign is beautiful, truly beautiful. Bea reaches out and takes her husband's hand.